football on Off the Ball.
They can no longer dominate the ball, and the fear factor from City is gone, but they'll still finish second or third.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. We're with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We are 36 hours out from the Ryder Cup 2025. So from 8 o'clock, we're going to speak to Chip Beck, who represented Team USA on three separate occasions, 1989, 1991, 1993. Never beaten in a Ryder Cup as a team player. Anyway, Team USA was never beaten when Chip Beck was there. He was certainly beaten in his first two outings in 1991, which is going to be the focus of our attentions tonight. So himself and Paul Azinger teamed up against Seve Ballesteros and Jose Maria Olazabal in that Ryder Cup. Loads of controversy. Azinger and Seve did not like each other, and Chip Beck had a front row seat to all of this. So really looking forward to chatting to him from 8 o'clock. We've got a special football show coming your way after 9 o'clock then. We're going to be speaking to Scott O'Brien and Emma Brennan. They represented Ireland at the Homeless World Cup in Oslo last month. They both got incredible stories, and really looking forward to chatting to them as well after 9 o'clock. Their stories are incredible, and we're really pleased that they're coming in to share them with us this evening. So that is our plan for tonight. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to get us on WhatsApp, Cameron Hill is here. Hello, Cameron.
Owen.
And Nathan Murphy, how are you?
I'm all right.
We are kicking things off at 7:30 with your account of what happened today at government buildings. I know you were both hooked on this all day long. I was walking around the house this morning on my phone watching Oireachtas TV. No better way to spend a day watching the FAI in front of a select committee, but entertainment was provided.
You know, I'll tell you, it'll put you off ever being a political correspondent. That's for sure. Like, there's four separate committee rooms, and they're just all rolling on all the time. Like, the affairs of the country are being decided here. And I'll tell you, it's tough going.
Yeah. What did we achieve today? As taxpayers.
What did I achieve?
Paul speaks volumes.
Not a lot. What did we achieve as taxpayers? Well, I guess this is holding the FAI to account around a very serious issue, which is the safeguarding of footballers throughout this country off the back of incredibly serious allegations that are being investigated by the Gardaí at the moment following the documentary into abuse surrounding the senior women's international team, the historical abuse surrounding that, and surrounding some of the false courses that young footballers were involved in. And that obviously is taking place at the moment, which is what the controversy around the last few days has been about, in that the FAI didn't want to go in because they felt they couldn't answer any questions about any of that. And what happened was that basically the FAI went in and didn't answer any questions about any of that.
Is there a case to be made that, you know, they warned that this would be the case, that they said that there are live investigations happening, therefore we can't actually attend? And when they did attend, should we really be that surprised that they went ultra defensive on it, given that there are live cases?
I wouldn't even say the FAI went ultra defensive. I think they had their line and they were going to stick with it, which is that their advice was they couldn't talk about this. So just for some context, it was July 2024 when the Girls in Green documentary was released on RTE and that joint investigation with the Sunday Independent. The FAI were aware of the complaints the previous January 2024. And by all accounts, I think most people seem satisfied with how they have dealt with it since then and how they dealt with those complaints from January 2024. And certainly that was the case from Una May, who's the head of Sport Ireland, who was talking, you know, is satisfied that they're acting and doing the right thing. The question marks all surround the previous 6 months and who knew what in advance before there was a complaint. So before there was anything in writing, when there was maybe rumour or concern, as was brought up, what happened when they were aware of the concerns that were there? And Sunday Independent reported a few weeks back that there was an email in circulation about these concerns, and that maybe it was brought up today that there was a PR plan, a press release drawn up in response to potential media queries on these concerns. And if these concerns were there in May 2023, why was nothing done between then and January 2024? The FAI said that they couldn't answer any questions at all about that because of the Garda advice that they received. Alan Kelly, we're going to hear about, who heads up the committee, said it's sort of unprecedented for anybody coming before committee to use what he suggested was a line of Garda advice, considering these committees run, as I said, consistently in four different rooms, and they are always facing potential legal problems, and they know how to navigate those. So for the FAI to use that as a way of not going in, he didn't feel was in any way acceptable. But it did mean that you had this stonewalling, particularly for the first 20, 30 minutes, where there was huge frustration among those on the committee about the fact that they simply weren't getting any answers at all in that period. And, you know, we had Evanny Quillen, who's a senator now, being very, very forceful, both during those questions and later on again, saying, I think, that at best today was a learning experience for the FAI. At worst, it's going to cause further trauma for those involved. But I think after that probably initial first 20, 30 minutes, the FAI probably managed to navigate the rest of the hearing, which went on for, what, 2.5 hours, more than that?
Yeah.
Probably reasonably well.
Well, let's get into it. We will hear the full audio of Alan Kelly in conversation with yourself, Nathan, a little bit later on. But I know it's your first story here as well, Cameron, on the news round, which is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Cameron.
Yeah, Owen, Deputy Kelly has suggested that conditions over safeguarding may be attached to future government funding to the FAI. The association appeared before the committee this afternoon to address recent safeguarding concerns within Irish football. Now, Deputy Kelly offered his advice to the Minister for Sport, Patrick O'Donovan, on the factors to consider before future funding is made available to the association.
My advice to him today would be to put conditionality around that. Let's just say that the minister and the department and the Oireachtas would be given some form of examples, or given a form of backup, that everything that was a concern pre to January 2024 was dealt with comprehensively and appropriately. The taxpayers of Ireland need to know that everything that was there prior, that's in the media, that those issues were dealt with comprehensively, appropriately, and in the right way. And, you know, has the minister got comfort? From a committee point of view, I would say that there wasn't huge comfort on that today.
It's hard not to look at the FAI in isolation from what we know about the FAI in its recent history. And they were accused of being a toxic organisation in that room today. And part of me wonders if that's just a complete unfair levelling at the FAI. If you want to play the ball rather than the man here and analyse this, you can make a case that they kind of had to batten down the hatches when it comes to cases that are live with regards to guards and with regards to any legal case as well. I'm not sure this necessarily plays into the toxic organisation trope that is out there about the FAI. A frustrating one to deal with, sure, and maybe they could have dealt with today better, but I'm not sure this necessarily comes into the same territory as some of the other disastrous FAI appearances we've seen in government buildings.
You could see the frustration, especially as Nathan suggested earlier, with Senator Evanny Quillen. It doesn't matter how forceful or passionate you are when you ask the questions, they were going to stonewall it anyway. But, you know, the fact that there's an ongoing criminal investigation does kind of tie them to a sort of gag order. They can't really speak on any of the particulars and the details of that. And you can see that there are certain members of that committee and non-members of the Oireachtas Sport Committee who've queued up for an FAI hearing just to have a cut at an easy target, because there's been so much to criticise them for over the last couple of years. Like, not to be totally flippant, but you'd wonder if therapists are suggesting that if an deputy is having a bad day, maybe go to an FAI sports committee hearing, because you'll feel much better about yourself afterwards.
The only thing I'd say on that, Cameron, is like, these are very serious issues. And like, the FAI and David Correll, their CEO, said that their conscience is clear and they look forward to the opportunity to be able to tell and answer these questions. But right now they can't. But we are talking about very serious allegations and who knew what when pre-January 2024, and they're not in a position to answer that. But there is no question that there certainly were a couple of people, and I think it stayed relatively within the boundaries, but there's definitely a couple of people who came in to give them a little bit of a kicking. I don't think they necessarily succeeded. But I think there's the other question that comes out of this, which is obviously the budget in 2 weeks and the funding for academies, which we've obviously covered in depth. And, you know, Alan Kelly went slightly further when he was talking with the written media than he did when I have been talking to him, where he was asked about the funding and the minister, and said that if the minister basically has the same concerns as the committee have, whether it's in profiling funding or whether it's in withdrawing funding, that's really a matter for him. But obviously we'd be writing to him on the basis of what we heard today. Now, I wonder, should these two be linked in any way? Mm. Why should they be linked in any way? Like, is it again because they have such doubts about their safeguarding policies and their ability to oversee safeguarding that there's no trust for the senior people within the FAI to hand them over millions of euro? Or are they just completely separate issues? Because there's obviously a lot going on at the FAI at all times. But withdrawing funding for academy football is going to have long, long-term consequences for the game in this country. And it does feel very separate to what was going on today.
And it did feel that there's at least a great appreciation of that in the room today. Plenty of local clubs got mentioned, and their volunteers doing brilliant work down the country.
All the kids are playing soccer.
Yeah. A lot of it was completely frustrating stuff. Like, so, some of the semantics, like, we definitely went deep on concerns versus complaints, which I don't deny is a very, very important thing. But, like, is that sort of semantic conversation actually, should that be happening in an Oireachtas committee like this? Is this not something that should be ironed out within a safeguarding committee within each organisation? Like,
and I think that might be part of the fallout from this.
Yeah, okay.
Alan Kelly touched on that it sort of crystallised that the concern area is one that there's a lot of confusion about, and none of the FAI people were willing to talk about the concern area. And there was a suggestion of maybe talking to other sporting bodies such as Swim Ireland, who've gone through their own safeguarding issues, as to what they do when concerns are raised. And look, the FAI's head of safeguarding was there. And, you know, there's different rules, regulations around whether it's a concern about a child or a concern about an adult and how you deal with all of this. And I think that might be one of the longer term things that Sport Ireland have to look at, as to after an initial concern, what happens then? Because, you know, I think it's very difficult for people to make a complaint. You want people to make complaints. You want to make it as easy as possible for them to make a complaint, but it can often take people a long, long time before they want to go, and particularly for adults, to make that complaint when they know that obviously it could end up as a potential case.
Yeah. Our number is 0879-180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp. Cameron, what's next?
Well, Hullers Newcastle begin their EFL Cup defence with the home tie against League One side Bradford City tonight. In the other round three action, you've Port Vale hosting Arsenal, Spurs facing Doncaster Rovers, and Manchester City going to Huddersfield Town. You've also Europa League action to look forward to this evening, both Celtic and Nottingham Forest getting their league phase campaigns underway. Forest are in Spain to face Real Betis, while Celtic are in Belgrade to take on Red Star, and Evan Ferguson could feature for Roma. They're away to Nice.
We will move on to rugby next.
Ulster have issued an injury update ahead of their URC season opener at home to the Dragons. Winger Rob Balakoon ruled out with an ankle injury, joining a very long list of players already unavailable for Friday's game at Aphidia Stadium. Jacob Stockdale could feature, however, he's not on the injury list, while new signing Warno Augustus is in line to make his debut after signing from the Northampton Saints. Connacht also begin the new season with the visit of Benetton to Dexcom Stadium on Saturday. There have already been positive soundings out of Galway as Stuart Lancaster's tenure as head coach begins, with impressive pre-season displays against the Bristol Bears and the Sale Sharks. But Lancaster gave full credit to the previous coaching setup, saying the Connacht squad showed last season that they have plenty of potential.
In that the foundations were strong. You know, I think credit to Pete and Mark Sexton's got fired of these guys who are here. I also felt Connacht had a high ceiling, and last year, you know, I think they were frustrated with themselves really that they didn't achieve more. But if you look at the metrics of line breaks, defenders beaten, you know, etc., etc., it was a really, really strong part of Connacht's game, the attack. You know, the bits that I felt needed to balance out was obviously the defence, but also how we managed the game within the game, you know what I mean, the management of the game. So it's all well having a great attacking mindset, but if you come 13th, and that's not the outcome we all want, do you know what I mean? So there's been tweaks I've made to the foundations of the game, but within that, it's strong, you know what I mean? And I think the playing group, you know, probably benefited from three British and Irish Lions players, those six lads going on the Ireland tour. So when I look at the depth of the squad and the quality of the young players that have trained with us, I'm happy with the squad and happy with the staff. So all good so far.
Ready to run through brick walls for your province, Nathan?
Absolutely, always. But Cameron will be there before me and I'm happy to let him take the lead.
Yeah, front row once that that new stand opens up in January, I believe.
Is it in January?
Well, apparently the plan is to have it open for the home Interpro against Leinster on the 24th of January. That's going to be the grand opening. So
get the big team down for that.
Yeah, the whole crew, the whole Hill family will be down there packing out Dexcom Stadium. But yeah, I mean, from the videos I've seen of their pre-season work, like Connacht look the real deal. Now, it'll all come out in the wash on Saturday, but yeah, with the new high performance centre and the positivity around it, God, we need a good start.
One last question for you, Nathan. Did today at government buildings give you any sort of existential thoughts? Did you think to yourself, geez, I just can't really stand off the ball anymore. I need to maybe pack this whole thing in.
Yeah, something like that. It was either that or Armenia. Okay. I was sitting here with yourself and Owen Doyle watching Ireland against Armenia and I thought, is this a fulfilling life? I've listened a lot to Scotty Scheffler when I was up at Port Rush and I've had several months to think about it. Am I getting the level of fulfillment I need from Irish football? Am I ever going to get the level of fulfillment I need? And yeah, I've had enough. I'm out. Broken.
It's true. It's true. You like, I mean, we can do this now. I mean, you
it
are,
feels like we are doing it now.
Yeah. You are leaving us, Nathan.
I am. Not right now.
No.
Soon though. We've got soon.
We can do a long, painful goodbye over the next fortnight, 3 weeks before you officially. You're going to wait until the next international window and then officially leave.
Well, I say I'm done with them, but they are going to Lisbon for several days. So I thought, you know, I should have one final reward for all we've suffered through for the last time. So yes, I'd be very sad to be leaving you and all of our wonderful listeners over the coming weeks on.
You will be staying in the building. You're moving boardroom. Is this what we're saying?
Is it what we're saying? I don't know if that is what we're saying. I think I'll be going from the third floor to the fourth floor. Back where I belong, Owen.
Back to Today FM.
Exactly.
Congratulations, Nathan.
Thank you very much, Owen.
It's going to be an emotional goodbye, I need to come to terms with it myself. But you're
not going to drag out at all. You're not going to like make him pay for the long goodbye you had to go through before South America.
That was excruciating.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a crappy quiz before you leave.
A farewell crappy quiz.
And that's pretty much all my ideas. So any other ideas you have, do let us know. Give us your favourite Nathan Murphy moment.
I'd say it'll be hopping.
Yeah,
it'll be hopping.
You handed in your notice after Armenia.
Yes.
Before walking the fairways of the K Club with Rory McIlroy.
Well, I won't go too in depth into any of it, but the process was ongoing at that week of the K Club, and I won't lie, there was a big part of me walking down the fairway with Rory McIlroy going, "This seems like a nice, quiet life," but yeah. Got to grow up at some stage, Owen.
You do. You've got a big boy job, Nathan, and I'm delighted for you.
Well, I don't quite know about that, Owen. But.
Cameron, do you want to give us one last story before we wrap up?
Oh, okay. The All-Stars were out today for the hurling. So All-Ireland champions Tipperary, unsurprisingly, 13 nominations for those. Captain Ronan Maher in the 45-player shortlist. He's not listed among the Hurler of the Year awards. That goes to John McGrath and Jake Morris of Tip, joining Brian Hayes of Cork in the three-man shortlist. While Limerick's Adam English and the Tipperary duo of Darragh McCarthy and Robert Doyle are in the running for the Young Hurler of the Year. Also included among Cork's 11 nominees is Patrick Horgan, who of course announced his inter-county retirement yesterday. This year's All-Stars will be presented at a gala in the RDS on Friday, November 7th. The nominations for the Football All-Stars will be revealed tomorrow morning.
Cameron Hill, thank you very much for that. Nathan, you'll be back with us after the break to reflect on a mad old day down at Government Buildings. You'll also be with us in the 8 to 9 hour to chat a little bit about golf and look ahead to Rovers against Bows. And we're going to continue to sweat the asset. Tomorrow you're going to do a proper oral history on Medina to now, the last 13 years in Ryder Cup history. We're going to take a quick break, but before that, it's time for the Cash Machine.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.